it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Tuesday night. It's December 17th, 2024. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast is streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel, and the Boiler Breakdown Twitch channel. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb's in the house with the Play Hard shirt, courtesy of the shop. What's going on, Webby?
Not much, Tanner. What's going on with you?
Oh, same old, man. Just getting ready for the holidays. They are upon us. It's Christmas Eve, a week from tonight, today, and Christmas a week from tomorrow. It's hard to believe, and I am not quite done with my Christmas shop yet. Close, but not done.
Yeah, right there with you.
Man. But Boiler basketball, only one game last week since it was finals week. That was the Indy Classic down in Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, of course, against the Texas A&M Aggies. And let's see. We got a comment here. Ted Berkey on YouTube. This year was always a transition year. We are a young team. Painter will figure it out. Our young guys need to step up and contribute consistently. As I was saying, played the Indy Classic. Fell short to the Aggies by a score of 70-66. But honestly, I thought the score was closer than the game really was.
Yeah, we hit a couple threes late to kind of make it look close, but that was really probably 8-10, maybe even 12-point loss. Colvin hit a three finally at the end, and CJ Cox hit one. So it was kind of like putting lipstick on a pig.
Yep, it was a frustrating game. Mm-hmm. Sloppy on both teams. Sloppy, a lot of turnovers both ways. But I thought Purdue got out toughed, now physicaled, especially on the glass. And I know Texas A&M is more of a older team, so to speak. But I don't know. I don't think the effort was as bad as it was at Penn State. Mm-hmm. But there was points on Saturday I was frustrated thinking some guys weren't playing as hard as they usually do.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was lack of calls, because Texas A&M is a very physical team, and they're letting them get away with a lot of it. Granted, I guess credit to officials, they were consistent with it. That's one thing we always ask for, is at least to be consistent. There are still some pretty questionable ones, but outside of Braden the second half, no one really, and even Braden, like, as much as like people want to say, oh, we're wasting a year, like, he still didn't have a great game. Like,
no, he didn't.
Granted, if we didn't have him, we would have got our doors blown off. But I mean, he had six turnovers. Fletcher looked good in the first half, kind of disappeared in the second half. Trey just never got it going. They keyed in on him pretty well. Probably the first time that like a team's really, really keyed in on him like that. At least it seemed like it. Where he just couldn't get anything going. Obviously couldn't get, production from, at least decent production from anybody. Colvin missed a lot of shots early. Cam didn't do a whole lot offensively. Anyway, it was more offensively. And then on defense, just couldn't contain the dribble, which led to, a team that was averaging 30% shooting from three to be able to hit what they shot 40% from three. But that's kind of what happens when these guys are Division I athletes. So, shooting wide open shots is a lot easier than shooting with a hand in your face. Nope, did I lose Tanner? Oh, there we go. You got me, Tanner?
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. No doubt. Am I back?
Yep, you're good. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, my Wi-Fi is acting up. It's lovely. It's been fine all day, and now it's acting up.
That's how it works.
So hopefully, if I have to, I'll exit and come back in.
Yeah.
But I'm not panicking yet.
No.
Hence the title. Don't panic about Purdue basketball. I mean, we have reason to put our faith in Matt Painter. This is his 20th season at the helm. We're lucky to have him. And we tried to tell everybody, might have to be patient at times this year. Got to take some lumps in the non-conference.
A lot of people said that.
Yes. I guess the one loss that's surprising out of the three. If you would have told me before the season was at Penn State, I wouldn't have chalked that one up as an L. But I probably wouldn't have chalked up the Alabama game as a W. So kind of evens out there. Saturday's test against Auburn. We're going to call it a neutral matchup in quotations. It's just like
Indy was neutral.
Correct. It's in Birmingham. Next year, the Indy Classic will feature Auburn against Purdue. But I know there's a number two besides Auburn's name, but I'm not so sure they're not better than number one Tennessee.
Oh, 100%. They look, I mean, they played Ohio State, you know, another Big Ten, you know, foe, and they beat the absolute
blew the bombs. Doors off of them.
Which, granted, Ohio State's got some, they've had some roster inconsistencies this year. I know Bradshaw was out for a little bit, and now I know Michi Johnson's taking a step away for personal reasons. So I feel like they've never really been at full strength, but, and obviously they weren't, you know, a great team last year, missing the tournament. But still, you know, that's another Big Ten, you know, squad that facing, man, yeah, Auburn just ran away with it early. It'll be the fourth SEC team Purdue plays this year. We're 2-1 right now. But yeah, Texas A&M was frustrating just because I feel like Purdue, as bad as Purdue played, I feel like they could have won the game had just like, you know, they not like what there's like, I think they like went like 10 minutes throughout the game without scoring, which is you go a just quarter of the game without scoring. You can't have that. And to still, you know, be within, you know, 10 points with, you know, under the last media timeout is impressive, but at the same time, you got to finish. It was just kind of people didn't step up. This is the first loss in Indy since when was the last Crossroads loss?
It might have been 18-19 against Notre Dame.
Maybe, yeah. So first loss in Indy in a while. The Auburn game is going to be
that could get ugly.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, but it could get ugly. It's 4:30 on ESPN on a day that's absolutely loaded with sports. I mean, you got a lot of good non-conference college basketball going on. You got the college football playoff going on. You got the NFL having some games on Saturday. So it is a good day to just sit on your couch and watch sports all day. That's what I plan on doing. It's the first game. Well, I had this feeling going into Alabama. Kind of went in with no expectations. And was very pleasantly surprised. So maybe that'll be a good thing. I'm trying to think. Have we played Auburn? We haven't played Auburn in basketball since the Music City Bowl, have we? In 2018?
I don't think we have.
I was just trying to think. I'll pull it up here.
Because we potentially would have in the tournament had we had Purdue beat Virginia. Because that was that following spring. But I don't think we've played.
We are 2-0 all time against Auburn. Only two matchups. Beat them 79-61 in the 2000-2001 season in West Lafayette. And that had to be an NIT game. That was on March 20th. That had to be an NIT game. Must have been the year we lost to Alabama. And then beat them in neutral down in Cancun the 16-17 season, 96-71. So I remember our good old buddy Ronnie Johnson was on Auburn at the time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What was Pearl wasn't coaching. Was he coaching then? Was he back?
Well, let me see.
I feel like he might have been. I feel like it took him a few years to get his Final Four team going. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, of course. The link's not working. I was trying to get the box score up.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you who the coach of Auburn was before Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, me either.
Nope. So, Purdue will have the work cut out for him. What's your guess on the line? No, we probably won't know until Friday.
I'm honestly not going to be shocked if it's Auburn 10.
That's exactly what I was thinking, 9 or 10.
Yeah, the fact that it's, you know, in their backyard, essentially, coming off of their impressive win and our loss, I think, it just sets up perfect. Yep. I was looking, too. That's the only ranked versus ranked matchup that Saturday. There's some good games, at least name-wise, but only ranked versus ranked. matchup.
Yeah, and one thing we've been texting about in our group is Purdue hasn't lost back-to-back regular season games since the 21-22 season.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Michigan State, at Wisconsin by a combined 6 points.
Yeah.
When's
the last time we lost back-to-back non-conference games? That's a real question. I mean, I guess maybe you can maybe the 2020 season, when Ivy, I don't know if we would have.
I don't think it was back to back. We lost to Miami.
Yeah.
I was checking that the other day because I couldn't find a back to back. You got to probably go back a ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, Purdue has always played this gauntlet of a schedule either. So, you know, my dad and I were talking the other day. We kind of wish we had an easier opponent this week after the A&M game just to get the confidence maybe going again. Mm-hmm. A little bit,
maybe switch Toledo and Auburn.
Which Toledo? I mean, they're not Auburn or Texas A&M, but they're not a cupcake either.
No,
I mean that's the thing. Purdue barely had any actual cupcakes on this non-conference schedule. Hopefully, that pays dividends in the long run. At least, I guess, if you want to look at it this way, we do start Big Ten playoff in January, or the full season of Big Ten playoff in January at Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if there's one opponent you want to start with, it might be them.
Yeah, if it's on the road, yeah, it's probably Minnesota. And you just kind of hope that, you know, it's a good test for the young guys. You know, obviously, like CJ Jakari, who are getting their first taste of Division I basketball. You know, guys like, we know, Wilbur, who actually, you know, played the other day.
Yeah.
He was out there. Raleigh did not play. We just need these guys to get experience. So hopefully it pays dividends. I think it will. This definitely feels like a team that hopefully gets a lot better by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Versus like a couple years ago where, you know, things kind of started to fall off a cliff by the end because guys were wiped. But I mean, as long as they keep a good head on their shoulders, I think they should. Hopefully, this should be hopefully a lot better by the end of the year.
Say I could give you the result right now of Purdue being a 6th seed in the NCAA tournament, but finishing, let's say, 3rd in the Big Ten. Do you take it right now, or do you roll the dice, or do you roll the dice and see how it all plays out?
I would take it. Yeah, I think. I think this team should be a top 3 team. I'll say top 4 just for Big Ten tournaments appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we even talked top 14, maybe, yeah, like 6 probably be like the lowest I would think this team could be, like in terms of, yeah, like obviously higher number, but worse seed. I know Bracketology came out today and Purdue was a 4 seed. I think they were 4 seed. So still a couple spots of a buffer before they drop out of the 4 line. Not that that matters right now, but obviously if you can be that top 4 seed, you can hopefully get dibs on region, which obviously there's the regional semifinals and Sweet 16 leads in Indianapolis this year, so that could be obviously a huge advantage for a team like Purdue.
Now, is that in Cambridge?
That's a good question. I don't know,
because I know in the past they've played those games in Lucas Oil in the past, but I feel like last year, like in Detroit, it was at Caesars and wasn't at Ford Field.
I feel like they haven't done a Sweet 16 Elite Eight in a football stadium at any site in quite a while.
Which is good. I prefer them not.
Yeah. I actually forgot they used to do it because I remember I saw clips of like some old NCAA tournaments. And I was like, I forgot they used to do Sweet 16s
in a
football stadium.
I'll never
forget. Is that when we played UConn? We played UConn in a football stadium?
I was in Glendale against the Cardinal Stadium. That was the first time we had seen Purdue play in the stadium. We shot the ball so bad.
Yeah.
And then the next year, we played Duke and Reliant, where the
Texans play. Yeah.
So, yeah. We've never had great luck shooting the ball. We did all right because NC State in the Final Four last year shooting the ball. But usually those shooting backgrounds don't treat us very well. And technically, we lost there twice, 2 games in a row in the 2020-2021 season, Ohio State Big Ten Tournament, and then North Texas in the NCAA tournament.
That's true.
So
those little blocked off.
Yes, it was. I saw something pop up on my social media this week that it was, and I think you were at this game. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember 2002 or 2003. I think it was 2002. The game at the RCA Dome, IU Purdue, in December. Yep. That's so weird still so to me weird, how that happened schedule-wise.
We were far away. That might
It didn't count as a conference game, I don't believe.
I have no idea. I just remember there being a lot of IU fans. We were so far away.
It was 35,000 in that place that night.
Yeah. Like I remember we were like corner of the court, 50 yards back and up. It was, I don't know if I had glasses at that point, so I couldn't see a damn thing.
Well, and the technology is not what it is today with the big screens and everything.
Yeah, it was, I'll have to ask my dad if he remembers that. Cause that was,
it's a good game. IU won a close game.
All I could remember for that game was just, it was super loud when IU ran on the court and then waving their flag or whatever, or that's all I can remember from that game. And I don't remember much else, but
I just saw a pop up the other day. They were ranked sixth. Of course, that was the year after they finished runner up.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because it was the 2002-03 season. So, Willie Dean led Purdue in scoring. I don't even know. I don't know who even shared it. It was something on Facebook, and I watched a few highlights. I'm like, man, there's a lot of names on both sides I completely forgot about.
Yeah.
That was Mike Davis versus Gene Cady. and now I just laugh to myself that in the 20 years Purdue's had Matt Painter, I use it five different coaches, and if they don't turn around, they might have number six in that time spread next year. Unbelievable. But I love it. So I'm not panicking, even if Purdue loses on Saturday. I just want them to show some fight, be competitive. I think if they do that, they'll remain in the rankings no matter what happens. But the rankings don't matter right now. I mean, it's December. The rankings don't really, the only rankings that matter is 68 comes out in the field on Selection Sunday. So we got a Purdue legend in the house, Stuart Swaggart, hey, on YouTube. Stu. What's going on, Stu? Hope you're doing well.
Appreciate you tuning in.
We'll see what happens Saturday. Just take care of the dang ball. That's the thing.
Which is going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
We could sit here and talk about the officiating being questionable the other day, even though they were consistent. Both sides being questionable with how much physical play they let go on. But at the end of the day, to win basketball games, you got to make shots. You got to take care of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Stu was in Indy at the Indy Classic, he says, at the game. So, looked good on TV. Looked like a good environment.
Yeah. Yeah, one guy to look for Auburn, they've got their center. He's 6'10", 240, so he's a dude. He's Johnny Broome, or Broome, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name. It's B-R-O-M-E. He's leading them, and he's averaging a double-double. So I assume it's going to be Trey's man. So Godspeed.
Yep.
Shooting 59% from the line, so maybe we can hack and shack. I don't know.
And, you know, it's easy to look at it right now like, oh, man, what would this team be like if Daniel Jacobson didn't break his leg the second game of the year, but I think it was going to be growing pains a year for him too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
he would have helped. I mean, Purdue does not have that rim protector without him in the lineup or without him on the roster. And,
you know, Braden's lob, you know, potential lob threat.
Sure.
That guy for Auburn, he on Saturday against or whenever they play, Saturday against Ohio State, he had 21 points and 20 rebounds. So.
Stu has a good question here. Oh, Webby, maybe you can explain. Can you guys please explain the revenue sharing, please?
So for those uninformed, we'll get ready because next year is going to be crazy.
Oh, my God.
Is it July? I think is when it
July
comes.
July 1st. July 1st.
Yeah. Every school has the opportunity to do revenue sharing, which from what I understand is they will have to – I don't know if it's a cap. I don't know if it's capped at 20 million or it's a like
22 million.
I've seen 20 and a half. I've seen 22. Is it capped at 22 or like you can spend at least you have to do at least 22?
No, it's capped at 22. That's the most you can spend.
Yeah. So schools can take 22 million and divvy it up amongst all their sports athletic teams, however they choose. They just have to divvy it up. I mean, there's reports. I think Texas Tech has already said that they're going to spend 90% on football and basketball, or was it? Yeah, 90% on football and basketball, and then like 10% on everything else. And that's every sport, whether it's, you know, if it's a varsity sport, you know, they fall in that category, which is gonna be really interesting from these schools. I hope they are transparent. I think it's just good for everybody to see kind of everybody spending their money. But it's gonna be interesting to see, like, again, obviously I think that 90-10 is gonna be pretty.
I would be shocked if there's schools out there that don't spend at least 75% on football.
Yeah, I think that's the low end too. I mean, it's your moneymaker. You've got, you know, now upwards of 130 scholarship players, what they're going to allow now, or however many it was going to be.
105.
105. Yeah, 105.
Yeah.
It will be 130 at this point. And obviously men's basketball is another big one. And then, like, at least at Purdue, volleyball, which we'll get to Stu's question here in a second. Mm-hmm. That's one, women's volleyball as well, but then, yeah, you kind of have to figure it out with, you know, I guess the good thing for Purdue, it's always kind of been a pain, but now the nice thing is, you know, Purdue has, I think, the bare minimum of athletic sports or of athletic teams to be like the Big Ten minimum. So, you know, there's less sports. So, you know, I guess maybe a little bit bigger piece of the pie.
And this is all aside from NIL.
Yes, this is all aside, so guys can still. I know
guys and gals can still go out and get their own.
Now I hope, and I've seen some things of, like, I know the House may have like more regulations on NIL. Like maybe you have to actually like say where this is coming from, and maybe have some documentation and paper trails. I don't know. Hopefully, because it's got
it's out of control.
I'm all for these guys getting paid, but some of this is just absolute bonkers.
No, I'm all for the guys and gals getting paid too and having some say and some rights, so to speak. But again, like, some of these reports are just nuts.
Yeah, and so it goes back to, you know, what we've talked about. It's like, you know, the NIL, for what it was intended for, awesome. What's being done is not NIL. It's just it's what was being done before.
Pay to play.
Yeah, it was pay to play, now out in the open. I mean, I saw a video on Twitter or somewhere today that was like Johnny Manziel with Shannon Sharp, like whatever interview they had together. And he was talking about how when he was in school, his dad went to Kevin Sumlin and said, give us $3 million and Johnny will stay for 2 more years. And that was in what,
13, around there.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, like that's all being done. Like it was being done before.
Yeah.
But now it's just now out in the open of what we're seeing. Yeah. Like, I mean, who was it? The number one recruit in 2025 for basketball, AJ DeBonsa, is like, supposedly it's going to be like a $7 million NIL deal to go to BYU, which is just like, I mean, like I saw someone say like Arch Manning's making more than some starters in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's a sophomore in college. It's absolutely wild. But yeah, the revenue sharing, it should be, I hope, can like level the playing field.
Help. I don't see the downside to it.
Yeah, it's not going to solve anything, but at least it does, like, maybe, you know, maybe like from a collective standpoint, maybe like from a Purdue standpoint, maybe you can now, the revenue sharing takes care of some of those. Because no disrespect to them, but just like smaller athletes that aren't doing, aren't playing for the revenue, the true revenue teams, and they can maybe funnel more money to basketball, football, volleyball, women's basketball. You're welcome. So I hope I explained.
We're not pros at all. Yeah. I mean, we're just reading off the research we've done. But yeah. I do want to get this Stu's question here, asking if we saw all the volleyball girls that left. Yeah, bad day unfortunate day for Purdue volleyball yesterday. They lost. Was it 4 or 5? Did the total end up being in the portal?
It was 4.
Was it 4?
Okay. Yeah.
So
best players, yeah.
I know two of them were definitely all conference players. I mean, I try to watch the volleyball games when I can on TV, but I couldn't name you the roster off the top of my head or anything like that. I did watch some of the Sweet 16 game against Louisville, which was disappointing. You know, and we could speculate. I know some people think maybe it's these players want to explore options. Because Purdue's kind of been capped at that Sweet 16 level for the last 10 years or so. Some others think they might want to go get paid more. mm-hmm. at another school. Some say it might be boyfriend situation or something to where they're getting closer to home. Hard to speculate. And I agree, Stu. I love Deshaun Dell too. I don't know if any coach on Purdue's campus, I mean, maybe Matt Painter's right there too, that bleeds gold and black like that guy.
Yeah. At least he does it the most. He's most outwardly about it.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a good way to put it. Big supporter of the university and all the programs and sports. Mm-hmm. But that was just disappointing because, you know, you see that and you're like, man, is something going on behind the scenes or is it just Purdue's not where it needs to be in NIL situation? I don't know.
Yeah.
Cameron Day on YouTube. I went to the game Saturday. Crowd was bored. Offense looked so clunky. No momentum. Mm-hmm. Double teaming TKR killed us. Yeah.
The clunky is a good way to describe it. Yeah. Trey, he had some passing at double teams. Like he had some questionable passes. Like there was the one where he like fired it across like the entire A&M team where it just got picked off. It was just like, just really kind of like uncharacteristic plays by a kid who's really cerebral. And really smart. I think he maybe was just getting frustrated, and, you know, which credit to A&M for doing that. But I think he was just trying to do too much. But hopefully they, you know, if we're going to play Auburn now, I'm glad we have a week to prepare.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Going back kind of to the volleyball slash, I'm going to kind of turn this into a football thing too with NIL. We see now that Purdue has 30 guys as of today. I believe that was the number in the portal. Majority probably won't be back. I don't know how many Purdue actually would want back, to be honest. But I posed this question earlier to our friend group. What do you think's more of the problem? Is it the transfer portal or is it NIL right now in the college overall? College athletics.
I think, I would give it more towards NIL just because if it weren't for NIL, I don't think the portal would be as big of an issue. Right. Because guys, you know, we're hearing all these stories of, you know, coaches outwardly saying like, you know, hey, you know, we've got guys that are, you know, they're getting told, hey, if you jump in the portal by all these, you know, old agents, you know, hey, I can get you, you know, or all these agents doing like backdoor deals of like, you know, reaching out to schools of like, hey, if this guy jumps in the portal, what can you give him? Oh, I can give him, you know, 100,000. Oh, I'm gonna give him 150. Then I'm gonna give him 200,000. Then he goes to the kid like, hey, you know, you get with me, you come to the portal, I'll get you $200,000. Then all of a sudden, like, you know, then also they're taking agent fees and all that. But I think that's just, I think that's the issue. I think if it weren't for that, you know, people wouldn't be in the portal. He would, you know, there would maybe not be that incentive outside of like playing time, which is playing time I totally get. And I mean, going to, you know, Stu's question, you know, guy getting in the portal and letting him come back. I'm all for it. Like, especially if he's a good player.
Especially if they entered the portal before Barry Odom got announced as the head coach.
Yeah.
And then they want to come back. I get that. Because I had no problem guys entering the portal when there was no head coach.
Yeah.
And just exploring their options in case we hired somebody that didn't fit the style they wanted to play or somebody they didn't like whatsoever. But to his question, I don't know how I feel about guys who have entered the portal since.
That's true. Yeah.
Coach Odom has been announced. I don't know how I feel about that.
That's fair. I think there's really no, I mean, with the portal, I don't think there's a problem with, you know, seeing what your worth is. I mean, I feel like it's no different than, you know, us having a job and putting feelers out to another, you know, another employer and saying, hey, you know, and see if it might be something that might be a better fit. But when you see like, and then we don't know what's true and what's not. Some of these like NIL, you know, contracts or deals these guys want, some of them just absolutely ridiculous to the point where it's like, or the, where you hear stuff about like, hey, you know, I'm not going to come visit your school unless you pay me, you know, $100,000, which is that stuff just is getting ridiculous. But
right. Right. Personal transportation and all this other stuff. You're kind of hearing rumors out there on some other schools.
Yeah. But I think NIL is the problem just because of how it is now. Again, not, you know, guys should be able to make money. Guys and girls should be able to make money off their name. But the whole, this is just, it's just free agency. It's all it is. Like if we're going to do that, then let's, you know, take the veil off of what we think, college athletics is, because that's dead. And like we've talked about before, it's just crazy how much things have changed from when we started this podcast. Like, it's unbelievable. It's not even, I don't even recognize it anymore.
No, it's, I mean, yeah, we started this at, the three of us, you, me, and Andrew in 2019. And even since 2021, it's changed drastically, and let alone 2019. Yeah, it's just wild. It's not the college athletics you and I grew up loving by any means. And Stu's right. That's why Nick Saban left. And that's why I think in basketball, I saw Roy Williams leave. Mm-hmm. Jay Wright, 100%. Who's the guy that
Tony Bennett just retired.
Tony Bennett. That's who I was trying to think of. I'm like, who did it just before this basketball season? Yep. Tony Bennett. And I think we'll see others. Stu, I'm afraid we may be a smart market team. I know. I'm right there with you. I was thinking about that today. Even like thinking about basketball, I'm like, thank goodness for Matt Painter, because if it wasn't for him, I don't know what Purdue basketball would look like right now.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, you know, for as loyal as a fan base, Purdue fans are, at least my take on it. Not the opinion of the Boiler Breakdown podcast. It's just, which is, we're a loyal fan base. We don't have the, I mean, we're crazy, but we don't have the, you know, the, I guess you can say, the bandwagon fans, like, or the casual fan jumping on
the Ohio States, the Tennessees, the Indiana, even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kentucky, like those, like you've got whole, you know, sections of the population who their identity is just wrapped up in what, you know, their football team or what their basketball team does. And so they'll do anything they can to, which, credit to them, it's awesome. I mean, my friend is a Tennessee fan, didn't go to Tennessee. But he's saying there's, you know, rumors of up to 40,000 Tennessee fans going to Columbus this weekend for the game.
I'm surprised they can get 40,000, because Columbus is another crazy fan base. But,
well, he said, like, the fact that Tennessee fans are bat, you know what, crazy. The fact that, his words, that, you know, Ohio State fans are fed up with Ryan Day, which is like another bat, you know what, thought process, right?
You could say it. You could cuss.
Yeah. It's just like it's a perfect combination of fans who are excited and fans who are just pissed off.
Yeah.
Where they can potentially, I don't think they're going to get that many in there. Cause I was like, do you mean going to the game, or do you mean just like just taking over the town and pillaging and pillaging Columbus, Ohio?
Like Stu said, it's so hard to win in Columbus. And Stu was,
it's cold, because I've been asking, like, legit question. I've like, is this the farthest north this team has gone, like, in a long time? Because, like, they'd never, like, especially this time of year. Obviously, they usually never play in this time of year, except unless it's in a bowl game. But I think, you know, Purdue doesn't have that. And also, I think, you know, as much as it annoys me sometimes, people, you know, Purdue fans and the people who have money, they're smart with their money, and if they don't see something that's worth investing in, they don't, you know, that, like, and again, we don't have the avid sports fan billionaires that some of these other schools have that can, you know, throw, you know, millions of dollars and it's, you know, nothing to them. It's a tax write-off. You know, I think a Purdue alum is more likely to give to a school if they're going to donate that type of money, I think, just in my opinion.
The biggest donation in athletics history, and I'm gonna have a golfer, so I'm not saying I'm mad about this, but it was to the golf program, the $20 million that was donated for new clubhouse and everything, which is great. But
whereas, like, the rumor was Mark Cuban donated $10 million to buy out Archie Miller, like that's nothing. And so, you know, I see it on the boards, which I'm not sure if Knucklehead Central is really the best demographic, which I mean,
it hits the name, Knucklehead Central.
Yeah. But you see some people, like, I see it on Twitter, and I worry, like, you know, people are like, I don't want to donate to this kind of stuff. Like, it's, you know, why would I want to donate to this that's going to these kids who can be gone the next year, which I totally get. So I think, but also if people who say that, who say, I'm not giving to, you know, I'm not giving to the, you know, to the John Purdue Club or Boilermaker Alliance, like, you know, this is not the college I love. Like, I'm not going to do that. Then, like, you can't complain when Purdue
100%
is in the bottom, because it's at the end of the day, it is what it is now, and it's pay to play. And you either, you know, jump on board or, you know, find something else to do, which if you don't, then fine. That's obviously your prerogative. But at the end of the day, like, if I could donate that amount of coin, you bet your ass I would.
Yeah, me too. I'm the smallest level donator for the John Purdue Club campaign, but I still donate. I still donate, so I can complain a little bit. Stu wants to know who we think will win it all. I presume he's talking about the college football playoff.
I mean, it's good question. To Oregon good question. Right now.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I
also
agree.
I would not be shocked if Ohio State won. Like,
no,
they're just so talented. I think it just really depends on my job. I do actually, funny enough, I do a joint meeting on Mondays with our Cleveland branch and our Knoxville branch. And the Cleveland guys are obviously big Ohio State fans, and Knoxville guys are all UT grads. And they're kind of, you know, talking trash yesterday, but they're like, it really depends on what Ohio State team shows up. It's a team that played Penn State, you know, played Indiana. They're going to, you know, they're going to whoop Tennessee. And if it's the team who played Michigan, they're going to get their ass beat.
Yep. Yeah. I would say Oregon right now. And I'm not just saying that because the one seed, I do think they're the best team.
Yeah.
In college football.
Atlanta's a maniac in the best way.
But watch, and I'm going to puke saying this. If Notre Dame wins, which I actually do hope they win for the first and only time in my life, if they win, it wouldn't shock me if they make a run.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me for them to be Georgia with or without Carson Beck. And then they would have to beat either SMU, Penn State, or Boise State to get the championship game. That wouldn't shock me one bit. I think they've been playing pretty good football this year since the Northern Illinois game.
Yeah. I think you're right.
My dream is whoever wins between Indiana and Notre Dame just gets blasted by Georgia. But
yeah,
we'll see. I wish the quarterfinal games were also on campuses. I think that'd be more intriguing. But they're not.
Yeah.
So my buddy John Bauer, aka Plug-O of Between Two Beers podcast, go Irish as always. He's a South Bend boy up there, so and he's telling me to grow up. Hey, I said I'm rooting for Notre Dame on Friday. I just said I think Notre Dame has a decent shot if they win to make it clear to the championship game. So, Plug-O, you're getting my one Notre Dame comment I'll ever say. compliment. thanks, Stu. You can get it at the shop.
Shopindy.com.
Shopindy.com. Use discount code BREAKDOWN.
25% off.
There you go. I still think they have them in stock. I got it last year, but I think they got it in stock. But I am intrigued about the college football playoff. I mean, I could care less about the rest of the bowls, though. I used to love bowl season.
Yeah.
That's out the window now.
Yeah, that's what it's – yeah, it really does suck kind of what has turned these other bowl games into, because it's like it's – I mean, I remember, like, you know, Purdue goes 6-7-5. It's like, oh, you know, oh, can't wait, you know, even like, you know, that's the greatest bowl, but still you get a chance to watch them one more time. I remember growing up, it was, you know, obviously we never playing for, you know, BCS national championship, but it was always fun to go to watch them play in, you know, the Capital One Bowl against Georgia. Like, that was awesome. You know, obviously, Stu was a part of a lot of those fun ones.
He was part of the Capital One Bowl mentioned, and the Rose Bowl, of course, and two Sun Bowls.
It just sucks because it's. I mean, like, really, the last great. I mean, the Music City Bowl was the last great one we have before. Even then, like, guys were sitting.
No, Karloftis and David Bell. That's what made that win even more miraculous.
Yeah. So I guess before that, you mean. Obviously, we had the Music City Bowl massacre.
Had good seats for that one.
We had great seats.
We saw SEC. Found out what SEC speed was the fourth play of the game.
So that's what they mean. Got it. Okay, it's real. Got it. So really, the last like bowl game that was meaningful that without guys sitting out was the 2017 Brahms first bowl out in.
Foster Farms Bowl.
Foster Farms
Bowl. Rich Rod.
Yeah, in Arizona.
That was a fun game, man.
It was a fun game. Late one, but it was fun. Yeah. And now it's like, you know, you'd like, I remember watching the Gator Bowl against LSU when Brom left? And it was just like.
The Cheez-It Bowl.
Cheez-It Bowl, yeah.
It used to be Gator Bowl, yeah.
It was just like, I knew it was going to be good going in, but now looking back, it's like, wow, they had Jaden Daniels.
Malik Nabers.
Yeah, it was.
No disrespect to the guy one bit when I say this. Austin Burton was our starting quarterback that day. Yeah. Just different. It was totally different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drew was our offense coordinator.
That's right.
Brian Brom was the coach. It was just bad. just bad.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate because
bad. Even though we saw two losses worse this year.
That's true. Oh God, but yeah, it does suck that the Bulls aren't what they used to be because used to be really fun.
Yeah, they did. It's and my dad used to run a Bull predictions contest every year. That was really fun to partake in, and he doesn't even do it anymore. There's no use with guys pulling out and even at the last minute and stuff. I am going to be fascinated to see if Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter play for Colorado because they're saying no. Deion's saying yes.
I thought Travis said something recent that he was going to play, like he owed it to Deion or something like that.
Oh, man. I hope they stay healthy if they play. And I'm not a Colorado fan at all, but those two guys are going to be top five picks. I'd hate to see them get injured and cost themselves a lot of money.
So. Yeah.
But I get both sides. I get both sides. Being loyal to your team, going through with your brothers, but I also get, especially if you're not in the playoff, the business decision too, when you're one of those two guys.
And what sucks is, and we can get into this topic too, because there's not a whole lot to talk about football, and we can talk a little about some of the announcements that came out today, but there was the whole thing about Penn State's backup QB who went into the portal, and it's basically saying like how he doesn't want to, but he's put into a tough spot now of, as a quarterback, it's not like, teams can play. I mean, I guess they can, but like obviously they only want to play one quarterback during the game, and spots are being eaten up pretty fast.
Yeah,
and
it's awful timing. I don't know why they can't start the damn portal till after the playoffs over.
It's because classes have already started.
Oh yeah, I forgot their student athletes web.
Right, exactly. Which again, you just need to stop this facade of it's for the student athletes when you've got freaking volleyball teams flying from Piscataway to freaking Seattle on a Tuesday night. Like, it's dumb. Don't give me that crap. They got to do something. Either have these games earlier so that the but they can't, because unless you start the season in August 2nd when classes start, you can't do that. And God, I can't imagine having four games in Ross State in August.
That'd be miserable. So that's another meaning of the furnace.
Yeah.
Stu, we'd love to come on your channel and talk about this past season. Anytime. That'd be awesome.
But it's all has to do with classes because
that's dumb on my part.
Second week of January or whatever.
That was stupid on my part.
It's
terrible. I forget about that part because I feel like they are semi-professional anymore.
They got to do something because that's just like, you're taking a kid who is like living his dream and now he can't be with
him. He's a contributor. He's the running quarterback.
Yeah, it's like now you're taking away a kid whose team has a legit chance. James Franklin was their coach, but they have a awesome path.
Yeah.
That you're now like he can't be with this team to compete for a national championship. Yeah. Like that's just it's just gotta suck.
And Franklin, I'll give kudos to Franklin. Like I'm sure he's disappointed, but like he said, it's a lose situation.
Yeah. It's like obviously you can risk it, but then you're stuck, playing. He could be coming to Purdue, but where he could have maybe went to maybe an SEC school or something.
Stu read my mind here. Who do we have as QB? Right now, we don't have Bennett Meredith is our only scholarship quarterback on the roster.
Odom's son is coming in.
Yeah, Garrett Odom's coming in, but he just has shoulder surgery, too.
That's true.
So he probably won't be playing in spring. Yeah. But Ryan Brown's in the portal, so is Marcos Davila. And I know he visited Nebraska. I did see – this was encouraging, though, and we can get into this since what we're talking about staff is with the retaining of Lamar Conrad as a running backs coach, which Purdue officially announced today, which that probably means Devin Mockabee's for sure coming back.
Thank
you. This is awesome. He's going to go down as one of my favorite Boilermakers of all time for many reasons.
Absolutely.
But Ryan Brown commented with the two hands up in the air emoji on the announcement of Conrad. So I'm like, okay, maybe he's leaning towards coming back, or he just really likes Coach Conrad and is glad to see him back. But in any case, I want at least one of those two guys back, even if we go get somebody, which I still think we need to go get.
I think we still
need another veteran in the portal.
Yes.
And when it comes to quarterbacks, to get a good one, you got to pay.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to pay. But maybe now we'll see some action in the portal this week as UNLV has their bowl game tomorrow night. So I got to think after that, we'll see a lot of UNLV guys jump in the portal. Maybe Coach Odom can bring a lot of those guys to West Lafayette. And now that Purdue officially announced their new offensive coordinator today, maybe now we see some offensive guys in the portal. Because why would you want to come to a school that doesn't know who's going to be calling the plays for them? And that offensive coordinator is Josh Henson, who is coming from the University of Southern California. He was the OC at USC this past year. Now, I believe Lincoln Riley calls their plays. So yep. He didn't call their plays, but still, an offensive coordinator is involved in the offensive game plan no matter what. So he was the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach at USC from 2022 through this season. Before that, he was Texas A&M's offensive line coach 2019 through 2021. Before that, he was Oklahoma State's offensive line coach 2016 through 2018. Before that, he was Missouri's offensive coordinator and O-line coach from 09 through 15. There's the Odom connection there. Before that, he was a tight ends coach at LSU from 05 through 08. Before that, he was at Oklahoma State tight ends coach from 99 through 04. And before that, he was assistant head coach for a high school in Oklahoma in 98. So, you know, I look at that, I'm like, I like that. Mm-hmm. Because that means I think Coach Odom's philosophy on offense, and it might be against the grain of what Purdue is historically, but run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Run the ball and have good O-line play.
Yep.
Win the games up front.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's Purdue's historically has been a very hard place to recruit O-linemen just because of, you know, obviously who we go up against in the Big Ten with Iowa and Wisconsin. And obviously, again, you know, just locally like Notre Dame, you know, if you're good enough to play it, you know, if you're really good O-lineman, like, I mean, I get it. Why wouldn't you go to those
schools? Right, right.
Because they're factories. You know, you'll probably get a shot at the NFL. But you never know. But I think I like that too, because that's where the game's won.
Yep.
Yep.
Stu here. Jeff Fish was my strength coach in Oakland my whole career, and he has also been Odom's strength coach in UNLV, and I'm praying Odom keeps him. I did think that they are retaining Purdue's current strength coach, but that doesn't mean that the strength staff's more than one person. So, but yeah. No, I'm taking your word there, Stu. But we don't know what the rest of the staff looks like. It's rumored that Purdue's going to be bringing, what was it, 5 assistants from UNLV? Yeah, the O-line coach to D.C.
Special
teams. Running backs coach that will coach something else now.
Yeah.
Special teams coach, which I'm real excited about him. UNLV had a great special teams unit this past year.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to follow to see what players Purdue can get out of the portal, and of those 30 that are in, which ones might be coming back. And we know one that won't be. Dylan Thiedemann is now an Oregon Duck. So I want to post this question to you, Webby, because it's been all over online, especially on Knucklehead Central. What to do, if anything, about his All-American banner that resides up in Mollenkopf?
Yeah. It's been a hot topic.
I got my opinion, but I want to hear yours.
Yeah, I can see a lot of different points of view. I think the one that I've landed on is you take it down until he's in the NFL.
That's my opinion. Yep.
Because he earned it while at Purdue.
100%.
I think the fact that it was put up already is weird. I don't know if it was maybe a play to keep him, because there was thoughts that maybe he, you know, was looking elsewhere at the end of
last. there was rumors. Yep, there's rumors.
So that was part of it, of like, hey, well, Cameron is also a Westfield Shamrock, so pride of Westfield.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the big thing to me is, no matter what, it's weird probably if you keep it up, if you transfer anywhere, but particularly to another conference team in the conference.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, that's really weird.
Yeah. And the fact that Maya was, it's only good points. Like, you know, if you kept it up, which I do think, you know, I know obviously Stu's.
Yeah. He said maybe to get a banner, it used to be, you had to be a conscientious All-American, not voted in on one team. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like the basketball banners have gotten that way too.
Really? I thought they were all consensus.
Really?
I thought at least like, I think Boogie was like consensus, okay, like second team or something. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think
you might be right.
But yeah, the fact that if you kept it up now while he's still playing college football, and you know, guys come in and they see it's like, oh, look what you can do. If you do well here, you can go get, you know, obviously he's gonna get paid at Oregon. Yeah. But obviously I think the fact that he earned it while at Purdue, I think yeah, he can definitely keep it up. But I think it just should be after he departs college.
And I think he was gone no matter what. No matter who Purdue hired or if they would have retained Ryan Walters, mm-hmm. I think he was gone. I mean, he kind of, in the article I read on the On3 Oregon site, sound like they were kind of him and his family making a list during the season, which I didn't like reading that.
Yeah.
But it is what it is at this point.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of glad he went there versus like Ohio State because we don't play Oregon next year. So
no, I am too, or even Notre Dame, but still, I wish he would have got outside the Big Ten, but yeah. Hey, the Big Ten SEC is where the big money is.
Yeah.
So,
and obviously you got guys like Claire, who's visiting a lot of big boys. Cole Brevard is going to Texas. So it's just nothing. It's like, so it obviously shows that Purdue had talent.
There was talent. Not, there was better talent than a 1-11.
Yeah. So people, you know, question, is this a talent issue? Is it a coaching issue? I think it's pretty apparent, which
yeah.
I think as we see a lot, you know, guys who get in the portal from bad teams or, you know, and they get, you know, all these crazy, you know, legit offers.
He'd be my number one guy backs too.
Yeah, as Max. Well. Clare,
he's an NFL tight end for sure.
Yeah, Louisville worries me there because he wants to be close to home.
Rob's taking but, everybody.
yeah, he took Musa and.
Well, they got big NIL money down there too.
Oh yeah. Gosh, what was I saying?
Sorry,
I don't even remember what I was saying now.
You were just saying where Claire was.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Zane Brevard going to Texas,
you know, Helts getting wooed by like Clemson, so it's like it's. You know, I think, but and I think
Bibber goes to Minnesota, which we're playing. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sure.
Forgot about that one. Yeah, these guys definitely get, you know, I think inflated offers just because of, sure, as like Brian Eber said, your best ability is availability at this point. Yep. But still, it's like when you see guys, you know, a couple years ago we had guys leave the team and they went to Western Michigan, or they went down a level, but now
last
it's like
year UConn,
yeah,
USF, a lot of them didn't even land at places.
Yeah, but now it's like, yeah, it's like holy crap, we got guys going to Texas, Oregon, yeah. Potentially, yeah. Texas A&M, Clemson. It's like, good lord, man. So just, yeah, it goes to show what a lack of coaching there was, which is really unfortunate.
And the more and more, you know, this portal stuff, it's killing high school recruiting. Just
killing. Oh yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. It's I don't know what you do. But hopefully it dies down a little bit next year because this is the last year of the COVID year, guys. So yep. Hopefully the talent pool is a bit less next year. But still, I mean, we'll probably see guys still getting 6th, 7th, 8th years for having a stub toe their freshman year or something stupid.
Cameron Day, what's our realistic expectations, I think is what he meant to say, in the win-loss column next year? Well, I do like how you got Southern Illinois and Ball State along with Notre Dame in the non-con. Even if the talent is down compared to this year's roster, maybe going into next year, I still think you get Southern Illinois and Ball State. So there's two. I would like to hope you can get two more in the Big Ten somewhere.
I would think. I think just four, from a, but like just from, even if the talent's a little bit less, I would hope that just with better coaching and discipline's better, that you can get
a
Northwestern. Yeah. You know, at Northwestern, maybe Minnesota obviously really turned it on this year.
Maybe a Rutgers at home.
Maybe. I mean, we'll kind of see what Indiana's like next year.
Yeah. Illinois, we usually play tough.
Yeah. So like I think four, I would probably set the over under at 4.5. I'm probably around that 4 right now.
Yeah. I can't see more than 4 right now. And we're just guessing on the roster. Actually would say 3-9 is a pretty safe bet. But I think fans gotta be patient. I think they gotta be patient. Yeah. I mean, I know Coach Odom doesn't want to say it's a rebuild, but it's a rebuild.
It's still a pretty daunting schedule.
Yeah. 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 See a little easier this year, but.
See, you know, see what USD turns into, and
Michigan,
yeah,
come back, yeah. Ohio State's the number
one in the country.
Yeah, that well it helps when you got 12 million. Hey, I like Stu's saying bowl eligible. Oh man, if sign me up right now. 6 wins.
If he goes, I think the next time Purdue has a bad coach, he's gonna hire some random bald guy again because with Brahm and Odom, that's a success. And obviously with Tiller too. Tiller's a bald guy, so that's the key.
Stu, with a good question here. How do you guys feel about Belichick going to North Carolina? Freaking weird.
I think it's either gonna be awful or it's gonna be like the smartest move ever made in college sports.
he'll get dudes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like Deion, because I mean Coach Tom Brady. That's all you got to tell a quarterback. And
I'm just kind of glad that guy's like, you know, like Roosevelt Colvin doesn't have a son playing football, because would he tell him to go play for his old coach or something? Because man, they've also got money too.
I'm convinced, of course, he did this to put his son in line for a job. And also, I think, I mean, Bill loves football. If you watch the Manning cast, if you watch some of the Inside the NFL show he's on, he loves football. Still wants to coach. I think he's caught wind that he wasn't going to be a hot name on the NFL market.
Yeah.
So I think he was just tired of waiting. And, you know, he's got ties to North Carolina. His dad was assistant coach there in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And we're going back away. So he thought, why not? And heck, if they're going to pay you $10 million to do so per year.
Yeah.
So you got staff that can go recruit for you.
Yeah.
He can be the closer.
Yeah. And he supposedly has. I mean, he is an absolute psycho, and in a good sense of just like details and all that. So I think, you know, him being able to put together a staff to do all the stuff that he doesn't want to do is going to be be able to run it like an NFL organization, which is kind of how college football is going, whether we like it or not. It's kind of where it's going.
Well, and it's interesting now. You know, you see, of course, Deion, what he's done. You see Eddie George at Tennessee State. Bill Belichick now Michael Vick as of today at Nicholls State. With the more success these guys have, it's opening doors for more former NFL players and maybe even legendary NFL coaches that you thought were done to come into the college ranks. Now it's interesting how it's evolving that way too.
Rex Ryan, come on over, buddy. Let's go.
Oh man.
It'd be fun.
It would be fun. Have your snacks ready.
Yeah.
Well, Hard Knocks. It's gonna be interesting to follow a lot of these guys and how they handle the NIL and recruiting and all that. So, real quick before we wrap up, going back to the college football playoff, do you see any upsets happening in this weekend's matchups?
Let's look.
So you got Clemson against Texas, Indiana against Notre Dame, Penn State against SMU, and Tennessee, Ohio State.
The only one I guess you'd call, I'm shocked Ohio State's favored by 7.5. I thought that'd be a 3, maybe.
A lot of it's probably the colder weather and the home field
lineup. That's the only game I could see being an upset. I don't see, you know, an SMU going into Happy Valley. I don't see that happening. No. And more than just like, just pray to God we don't see an upset up in South Bend.
No, I know.
But if
thanks for stopping by, Stu. Thanks for all the questions, man. It's
a blast. But yeah, I can see. If I had to pick two, though, I'd say Tennessee or IU would be the upset ones to pick.
I'm not saying this just because I hate Indiana. I don't see them beating Notre Dame, especially if it snows. Game on the ground.
Notre Dame's offense worries me, though. I will say that.
If it turns into a ground game, though, they should win in the trenches. And I mean, they got some dudes at running back. So But if it's weather that can be passed, then Rourke will spin it. So
yep.
But Notre Dame's defense pretty damn good too. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious how many red jackets, I guess I'll say, are going to be in the stands, because every quote unquote reversible fan that I know that I've reached out to, they've all answered the same way. Oh, I'm torn, but I'm cheering for Notre Dame. I've not had one
really
tell me they're cheering for Indiana. I've not had one.
Wow.
I think because they realize Notre Dame realistically has a better chance to win the championship.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious to see how many legit you know, Notre Dame jackets, Indiana like beanies, we're gonna
see
a lot. Or like someone with like a sweatshirt of one with a jacket of the other over, just to see, and they'll pull one off.
And you know, I tell myself, am I even gonna watch this game? I'll probably watch a little bit of it.
Oh god,
that sounds like you might be having a party.
We're not anymore. Thank the Almighty. We're not. Yeah, I.
And you know, I was thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, that does suck for Evan, but at the same time, you did get to watch your team in the national championship,
exactly.
And your wife had to sit there, so it is fair.
And she asked me last night.
Just sucks against Notre Dame.
Yeah, she asked me. She's like, "So who is it? Is it never IU or never Notre Dame?" And I was like, "Babe, I'm sorry. I'm pulling." Yeah. I was like, "I'm not cheering.
No,
I'm like, I'm not gonna be openly cheering." But I was like, "If I had to
2-0, 2-0."
So if I had to pick, I'd pick Notre Dame. And she was like, "What?" She's like, "To be fair, I kind of." She was at their national championship. I was hoping Purdue was just gonna get rocked, but also it would have been really cool to see that because I know how much it meant to you.
That's very nice. Very
yes.
Nice. Yeah, it's I my whole life I thought I would actually, you know, I want to puke saying this too. I thought I'd root for Indiana in this matchup. Then when it happened and the stakes of the play, I'm like, nope.
And like Marcus Freeman too.
I know they just signed him to a big contract extension. I'm telling you though, if they lose the IU, their fans are gonna be on his butt.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I have one of my sales reps. He's an Indiana alum, but he's an Ohio State fan. And he's like, "Yeah, I want Marcus Freeman."
Of course you do.
Yeah,
of course you do.
Because he's like, "Yeah, it seems like the best coaches on the staff are former players." Because Hartline, Larry and I was on that when he told me that. I kind of shivered.
Oh man, he was one of the crap out of me. Nice dude too, real nice dude off the field. But my God, when we were growing up, that dude.
Scared me.
AJ Hawk.
Yeah,
all those dudes. One of our mutual friends, he said if Ohio State loses, they should fire Day and write a blank check to Mike Vrabel. I'm like, hey, the rumors has it that Vrabel's towards the top of the Bears list. So
I'll take it.
He'd be a hard nose. I don't know if you'd want either of those office coordinators that are rumored that he might bring with them. But
no, not at all.
But no, he's a hard. I still think the Titans are stupid. For not, I thought the Patriots are stupid for hiring Mayo over him. I think he's a good football coach. I think he's a tough son of a gun. So, one other thing we need to do. I know we got on a tangent away from basketball and down. Score prediction MVP. I guess we could do a spicy take for basketball. A little more difficult to do than football, but.
I haven't got to the point where I wasn't football where I wasn't picking the Boilers, so I'm gonna pick Purdue. 82-80. I don't feel good about this game, but I'm still picking the Boilers. Player of the game, Trey. It's a bounce back game. He gets a big game. Spicy take. 25 bench points. We had 10.
Oh, it was all CJ Cox
on Saturday. Cool. So between CJ, Jakari, first. Hopefully see some Burgess. I think 25 bench points.
I'm hoping I'm wrong there. Maybe I'll go with some reverse psychology here, but I'm taking Auburn 87-78. I think Purdue hangs in there, but Auburn just too much at the end. But my player of the game is, and maybe this is just a guy I'm hoping gets going, is Jakari Harris. He's going to have double digit scoring. I don't know why. I know it's in Alabama and not in Georgia. Why do you
think about that? Yeah, he's down.
Something down south. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it gets him going. I feel for the kid. He just needs to see the ball going to hoop to get his confidence going. A spicy take, though. Purdue has less than 10 turnovers.
Oh,
take care of the ball. But they just have kind of a tough time shooting again. That's why they only get 79 points. But take care of the ball.
Just play hard, like my shirt. Mm-hmm. That's all we want. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, let's pay some bills real quick before we get out of here and let everybody know where they can get some good grub and some good merch. And you can get good grub at Mad Mushroom, whether you're around campus or visiting Lafayette to do some last-minute Christmas shopping or whatever. it may be. Mad Mushroom's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan or myself or Andrew visit, we'd like to sit down and have an ice cold beer by trying out their latest pizza of the month, which the pizza of the month for December is the chicken pot pie. It's chicken gravy topped with chicken, peas, chopped carrots, mozzarella cheese, and covered with puff pastry pieces, starting at just $14. So next time you're in town, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5. To claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. It's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And where can they get some of that great merchandise at there, Webby?
Yeah, you can go to the shop, whether you're, you know, town, if you were, hopefully if you're in town for on Saturday, you were able to stop by one of their three retail locations. They've been making hometown apparel since 2011. All types of merch for a lot of Indiana schools, plus Ohio State, plus some, you know, all kind of just all things Indiana, whether it's the 500 Indianapolis Indians, Indianapolis football is how they say it on there, and then blue and gold basketball. They've got plenty for you. But if you go to theshopindy.com, you can use promo code breakdown. You get 25% off your entire order. I just did this yesterday. I think what sweatshirt are you wearing, Tan? I bought that in the shirt.
Favorite thing I got from there. Yeah. It's so comfortable.
I got the shirt version of that. I was buying some kind of stocking stuffers for my wife and sister. Oh, yeah. And I was like, well, I gotta throw a shirt on there. Like,
oh, I have to.
What am I doing?
I have to.
And the code worked. So shout out to the shop.
And Webby, before we go, why don't you let everybody know kind of some breaking news we just saw come across our phones there?
Yeah, I was gonna say it or not, but so Auburn's playing right now, and it looks like they're the best player, Johnny Broom. I'm assuming that's his name. I apologize to Mr.
Broom or Brom.
Brom.
Brom. I don't know.
Will be reevaluated at halftime of tonight's game against Georgia State per school official. He's the front runner. This is from John Rothstein, so he has to give everybody's freaking credentials and background. He left tonight's game early and currently has an ice pack on his right shoulder to monitor, given that we play them in 4 days.
Yep. Yep. Saturday, 4:30 on ESPN. ESPN.
Haven't been a game on ESPN in a while.
Yeah, we haven't, which hasn't broke my heart. So.
Was it Maui last year, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Just kind of got used to life without being on ESPN. But
it's been good.
Scheduling notes, we will not have a show, I don't think, before Christmas. Not even sure what our schedule will look like for next week at all, if we have a show. But if so, it's probably going to be after Christmas. So want to thank everybody for tuning in so far this year. This has been a great year for the Boiler Breakdown podcast, and we can't wait for 2025. Just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays out there to all of our loyal viewers and listeners. Really appreciate you all. So hope everybody has some great time with the family, get some great Purdue and gifts, especially from the shop, and everybody has a safe and very Merry Christmas. And Webby, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Tigers.
Boiler up.